Our fourth case for this morning is Kansas City Southern Railway against Kohler. Mr. Brown?
Yes, Your Honor. If it please the court, my name is Paul Brown. I'm here to argue on behalf of both of the appellants, the Kansas City Southern Railway Company and the Norfolk Southern Railway Company. This appeal involves the construction of 42 U.S.C. Section 11501, which is the tax discrimination provisions of the Railroad Rehabilitation and Regulatory Reform Act of 1976.
I have a factual question for you about the record, Mr. Brown. Your opponents in their supplemental appendix put in this order from the Circuit Court in Pike County, which, as I read it, was the proceeding that considered whether the maximum annual assessment should be increased up to this new number because of the, you know, the 2 million and some number. But what I'd like to know is, when was the very earliest time your clients learned the actual dollar number of the new amount of money they were going to have to pay?
My client, the Kansas City Southern Railway Company, learned that in January of 2009 when they received what I'm going to call the tax bill.
So it was considerably after this Pike County court opinion then, because that's early October of 2008.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And
so that's why you wouldn't have had any occasion to participate in the Pike County.
That's correct. And Your Honor, there was testimony in the district court by a tax administrator for the Kansas City Southern to that effect, that when they received the original notice, and in fact, Norfolk Southern contends that they did not receive the original notice at all. The original notice was a notice simply saying that there's going to be a reassessment proceeding.
Now, is that the kind of thing that pretty much anybody in Pike County who wants to can show up and talk to?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Or do they have party status if they do that, or are they?
And what happened in this case?
They published the
in the local papers,
and they also published the value of the property as a deed by the assessor.
Actually, Your Honor, the original notice simply said that they were going to ask for an increase of the total amount to be assessed.
Is that a general notice, or is it a specific notice to each taxpayer?
There are notices sent to each taxpayer in the district, each landowner in the district,
and then it's published. But it's just about the ceiling, you're saying. It's not about the individual parcel assessments.
It's just about the ceiling. And what further confused my clients is the fact that a letter was included, a letter that wasn't required or mandated by the statute, but a letter from the commissioners of the district to the taxpayers, and a letter went with every notice to every taxpayer, including the Kansas City Southern. Now, the Norfolk Southern says they did not get either the letter or the notice, but the Kansas City Southern received the letter and the notice, and what the letter said was, we're asking for this increase in the total amount of the assessment because of all the problems that were going on with flooding and higher diesel prices and so forth. But it said the average increase will be $10 per acre for agricultural land. Now, the testimony, and it's uncontradicted testimony from the Kansas City Southern, was the administrator who received that notice looked at it and said, well, $10 an acre, that's not too bad, and filed it away. It was many months later, and the Kansas City Southern, Norfolk Southern, did not participate in the hearing.
If I read it correctly, your property is still assessed for agricultural purposes.
Not under the current assessment, Your Honor, because what they did in 2009 for the first year.
When the notice came out, how was your property classified?
Well, the notice didn't say anything about the railroad's particular property.
But it had been. How had it been classified before all of these changes?
It had not been. All property was treated the same way.
Well, what was it treated as? Agriculture? Straight out?
Well,
all property?
When you have benefit, when you have assessments under these special use statutes, they don't classify the property as agriculture, residential.
No benefits. Just How is the property on a zoning map, if you looked, how would it be classified?
Oh, Your Honor, that's not in the record, and I don't know the answer to that question. Because it simply wasn't an issue here, because there are not classifications for these special use districts. Hmm. The statute doesn't talk, the Illinois statute does not talk about any kind of classification of property in a levee drainage district. It simply says the property will be, benefited property will be assessed. And it doesn't say anything about assessed according to benefits. It says will be assessed in an amount that does not exceed the benefit to the property. And then there's language that says, and that assessment will be proportional. Traditionally, proportional meant you took the amount that the district wanted to raise, you divided it by the number of, quote, benefited acres. Benefited acres means acres that are inside the levee. Mm-hmm. By benefited acres, and you produce a number, which is dollars per acre. And that's how it's always been done up until the tax for 2009. And it was proportional when it was done that way.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Even if you're right, and there are some problems with the way this particular process unfolded, and actually I can see quite a few that I'm going to be asking your opponent about, it doesn't seem lunatic to me to think that from a benefit point of view, improved land, whether it's improved with a railroad on it or it's improved with a factory on it or it's even improved with a house on it, is probably getting more benefit than agricultural land or parks or whatever. And so I'm wondering if on a benefit basis, if there were actually hard data showing the benefits from the levies, whether you might wind up paying considerably more than the agricultural neighbors anyway.
That is the position of the respondents in this lawsuit. But frankly, it's irrelevant for the issues before this court and that were before the district court, because we're not...
It's only relevant given the remedy you're asking for, because what you seem to want is for us to just lop off everything above the $10 an acre. And they've made the argument that wouldn't be the right remedy. Indeed, you know, it's not up to us to decide what the assessment formula is going to be. We just have to send it back to do it better.
Well, actually, under Section 11501, the court, the district court, and this court, has power to issue an injunction to enjoin the discriminatory portion of the tax. Now, this court doesn't look at fairness, or it doesn't look at benefit. This court only looks at two things: were the railroads discriminated against, and whether there was a disparate impact on the railroads. And the trial courts, the district court's findings of fact, expressly addressed both of those issues. The district court made an explicit finding that railroads, pipelines, and utilities, being 8 of 700 taxpayers in the district, were treated differently than the other 692 taxpayers. Mm-hmm. That was a finding that established discrimination. And under the case law...
You're relying on the first sentence of C, notwithstanding essentially the Tax Injunction Act, the district court has the power to prevent a violation of subsection B.
That's correct, Your Honor. And subsection B would be B1, B2, B3, and B4. And B1 and B2 deal with disparate property valuations.
And so if it had been $12 an acre, if the increase had gone to $12 an acre, and say the other taxpayers were at $10 an acre, and the railroads were at $12 an acre, $15 an acre, you'd make the same argument. You'd say that there was no authority or power to sort of assess your usage and determine whether or not that was fair.
That's correct, Your Honor, if they were doing it on a per-acre basis. Now, I'm not saying that, and it's not here before the court, as to whether the district has the authority under the Illinois statute to use this benefits approach that mm-hmm. they used.
Because there is, they do have the power to do that.
I can't say that, Your Honor. There are no cases that say that. The statute doesn't say you assess based on benefits. The statute simply says that you will assess and not exceed the benefits to the property, and the assessment will be proportionate. So, but that's not a question for us here today. The only question...
Oh, I understand it's not the question. Yeah. I'm trying to ultimately get to whether or not the result here
And hypothetically, if in fact there were authorized by Illinois law to use this benefits methodology, and that may be something next year they decide, if we win this case, I expect that they will go back into court mm-hmm. next year and try to apply a benefits methodology, at least with respect to all commercial industrial properties.
Exactly, and that's why I want to get to that,
yes.
where you think.
Yes.
I want to see like the long in the long view. So what do you think would happen?
I think that
if the
railroads prevail, that we're going to see, and unless this court makes a ruling on the appropriate comparative class, and appellants ask this court to make that ruling. Now, the fact of the matter is, this court can decide this case without deciding the appropriate comparative class, because the railroads win regardless of the comparative class, because they were treated differently, one, than all other property owners in the district, except pipelines and utilities. In the case law, it's very clear that just because there are a few other taxpayers thrown in with the railroads doesn't justify discrimination. So our position is that even if it was all, if we looked at all taxpayers in the district, clearly there was discrimination, clearly there was disparate impact. If this court were to decide that they were to use only other industrial and commercial properties, there was still discrimination. Because the record clearly shows. I'm in rebuttal. Yeah, I will borrow my time, Your Honor. Thank you. The record clearly shows that that there were commercial industrial landowners in the district that were taxed on a per acre basis, just like the agricultural land. So there was discrimination that way, and they weren't just those landowners outside of municipal boundaries. Those commercial and industrial properties inside municipal limits.
They said they just forgot about, right?
Well, the ones outside the municipal limits, the district said they forgot about. The ones inside municipal limits, they decided without any authority under Illinois law to exempt.
Yeah, right.
And that's discrimination, too. Now, there's case law, federal case law, that says an exemption in an ad valorem property tax case is okay. But there's case law in B4 cases, which this is a B4 case, other types of discrimination, that says exemptions are not okay. So we've got discrimination whatever way you look at it. We've got disparate impact whatever way you look at it. And the district court clearly believed that injunctions should issue. The district court clearly believed and made findings of fact there was discrimination, there was disparate impact. In fact, the district court indicated in some pretty strong language that the district court suspected it was intentional discrimination based on what everything that went on. And there's no reason to speculate on that. We have in the record the minutes of the commissioners where they told one of the farmers that came in to complain about the tax increase that, well, this is how we handle the railroads, utilities, and pipelines, and we use this new methodology, and as a result of it, your taxes are going to be lower. There was intentional discrimination, and although there's case law that says intention's not required to prove a violation of the Act, clearly it's probative. If they intended to discriminate, that helps show that that discrimination did occur and there was disparate impact. So the only issue that the trial court struggled with was whether she was authorized, given the second sentence of subsection C, to issue injunctive relief. And I think she just plainly misconstrued the statute. And because she misconstrued the statute, we're here on an issue of law, and it's a de novo review. This court decides whether subsection C applies to B3 claims and B4 claims. And you can, by the plain reading of the statute, it doesn't. The first sentence of subsection C says, issue injunctive relief. You have authority to issue injunctive relief, notwithstanding the anti-injunction statute. The second sentence then puts qualifiers on it. But that qualifier only applies when you're talking about disparate property valuations.
It's an assessed value problem.
Yes, a B1 or a B2 case. And the district court stands alone in saying the second sentence of subsection C applies to B3 and B4 claims. We've got circuit court decisions from the Fifth Circuit and the Ninth Circuit that say it doesn't apply. The Fifth Circuit was looking at a B4 claim. The Ninth Circuit was looking at a B3 claim. And the reasoning was the language of the second sentence of subsection C is the language of disparate property property valuations, in other words, assessments, a B1 or a B2 claim. We also have a district court decision from the Northern District of California, and then there's numerous decisions, including one by this honorable court, that either affirmed or granted injunctive relief in a B3 or a B4 case with no problem whatsoever with the language of the second sentence of sub C.
You're going to have very little time left for rebuttal.
All right, I will reserve the rest.
Last minute, and we will.
Thank you, Your Honor.
See if you can make good use of it. Mr. Arnold.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. My three commissioners are all in the courtroom this morning because they want to know what their rights and obligations are under this statute. And I want to start with the proposition the 4R Act doesn't apply to the special assessments at issue.
Well, I had a question for you about that because I knew that was one of your arguments, and I was actually interested in how far you want to take the idea that because this is kind of a fee for services. That's my understanding of your theory.
Benefit to the property, Your Honor.
And benefit to the property. So, but essentially that there's a fairly even exchange going on here. So I wondered whether you thought school taxes were taxes. They're devoted to a special purpose, just like your drainage district taxes. They provide a service to the people of the school district. It's not this, I mean, school districts are their own political entities, just like the drainage district.
That's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about it.
They look like taxes when I see my tax bill.
They look like taxes on my bill, too. The difference, I think, Your Honor, is that a special assessment is imposed based upon the benefit to the property. Now, a school tax is not imposed based on the benefit to the property. My house is not worth more because I pay taxes to the Ladue School District.
Oh, I think people would disagree with you intensely about that. Mm-hmm. I think that school, you know, a good quality school district in an area does benefit the property.
But it's not a consequence of the tax rate, Your Honor. Okay, the benefit that the railroads get from the our levy district is something in terms of, you know, they don't have to spend money to upgrade the track or rebuild the road bed after the flood comes through, and they don't have to reroute their trains.
What about taxes that go to building highways? Like a lot of our gasoline tax is devoted to highway construction.
Again, there is no particular benefit to my property from having a highway that runs a half a mile away from it. And that's the key.
I mean, businesses will locate near major highway intersections, and they may stay away from areas that are difficult to reach by good roads. Indeed, one of the rationales for expanding O'Hare is that it's going to be good for the local economy.
Well, it's probably not good for the houses underneath the approach pattern.
Not in the view of the people who own those houses, that's certainly true.
Well, the Supreme Court has told you have to construe this statute very narrowly. And the reason
the Supreme Court has also certainly said, you know, if it, you know, the old looks like a duck, walks like a duck, you know, if it seems to be a tax, then it's a tax.
But this
you
is
don't need to call it a fee or a banana or anything else. It's a tax.
Obviously, the acronym doesn't matter. The question is, how is the tax calculated or the assessment calculated? A tax is imposed on, you know, a percentage of earnings or a percentage of the property. This
Value of the property or value of the product sold.
But this assessment is imposed based upon the increase in the value of the property to the railroad, or
but
in this case,
wasn't up until this time.
I'm sorry.
You had a per acre tax for a very long time.
We had a per acre assessment. We decided to change that.
Was it unlawful when you had that?
I wouldn't go so far as to say it was unlawful. I believe the Illinois Drainage Code allows for a substantial amount of discretion to the drainage district in terms of how it calculates the assessment, subject obviously to the approval of the Pike County Circuit Court. But certainly the fact that we used a per acre assessment at one time doesn't necessarily say we have to use a per acre assessment for all time. We can switch to a different.
Is there an assessor in the county besides the commissioners?
I'm sorry?
Is there an assessor in the county besides the commissioner?
I believe there is. That's for purposes of property taxes, and that has nothing to do with
nothing to do with this.
That's got nothing to do with the benefit.
You use the term special assessment, which has meaning both in the real estate business with property tax and yours as well. Is it the same term? Is it put the same in?
I use the term special assessment because that's the nomenclature that the Illinois courts have used to describe these things.
Yes, I know. Is the notice of the special assessment given to the property owners before the special assessment is carried out?
They are given notice of the fact that an assessment roll has been filed with the Pike County Circuit Court, and they are free then to come and inspect that assessment roll if they so choose, and that will tell them how much they are going to be charged for the benefit to their property.
And when was that filed? This is the first question I asked also of Mr. Brown. I'm very interested to know how this unfolded, because it, certainly looking at the Pike County decision, it appears to be about the aggregate assessment that's going to take place for the district, whatever the assessment thing is. And it's not until later, it seems, that people learn what each individual payer is going to have to.
As I say, the notice advised people that an assessment had been proposed and filed in the Pike County Circuit Court. Anyone was free to come and look at that assessment roll if they chose to do so.
Yeah, but wasn't that letter a little misleading, because the letter said the assessment would, quote, generally result in a maximum of $10 per acre increase?
For agricultural properties. The railroads aren't agricultural properties. They are industrial properties.
So you disagree with counsel's characterization that it was just property in general, and that there was no specificity or no distinction made between agricultural property and property used by the railroads? Because he says there's no...
I don't know that there's a zoning distinction.
Right.
I don't know that there's a zoning distinction, but there's a practical distinction. You don't grow corn in the middle of a railroad right away. So it's not agricultural property. No one could fairly characterize the railroads as ag property.
I guess what Judge Williams is getting at, and which has concerned me as well, is notice. Because if the drainage district had not differentiated by use before, whether it was agricultural, whether it was railroad, pipeline, utility, residential, whatever, then people might not have been alerted to the fact that we were moving into a new era in which distinctions along usage lines would be drawn.
They were told that there was a change in the assessment, and they were told, and they obviously could have gone to look at the assessment roll if they chose to do so.
It's going to be at the $10 an acre or so, not an 8,000%.
For agricultural land.
Yeah, but did that say that in the letter? It didn't
say. The reference in the letter was specifically to agricultural land, Your Honor.
But isn't all this land, isn't 99%, or I think I read somewhere in the records, the 99% of this land was agricultural?
Yeah. Yes, but the railroad's land isn't agricultural land. The railroad's land is rail land and right away and associated right of way. All of the cases.
Let me ask, going back historically, had they received other letters indicating that it was railroad property? Because they had been assessed at the same rate as everybody else before this, right?
They were assessed at the same percentage of benefit this time, too.
Well, please answer Judge Williams.
Yeah, what I'm saying is before this letter goes out, they're paying at the same rate as everybody else. Was that true?
So like in 2005.
They were charged on the basis of a per acre rate prior to 2009.
Right. And everybody was charged per acre.
That's correct.
And the farm property was charged per acre at the same rate as the railroad.
That's correct. Prior to 2009.
Right. So they were treated on an equal basis.
And they were then and they are now.
Let me get to that, because maybe they are, for all I know, but it's luck, not good management. It seems to me the numbers that are used by this guy with the name of Mr. Human, or however he pronounces it, and the numbers that are used to come up with benefit to the agricultural property strike me as arbitrary in the extreme. But I will say that I can imagine with sounder numbers a rational basis for thinking that improved property, like the railroad, derives greater benefit from the levies than agricultural property. I just don't see any numbers in this record, aside from this kind of seat of the pants, you know, oh, well, if you're growing whatever crops are grown down in Pike County, you know, that there's a certain benefit. Now, of course, farmers don't want their crops ruined by a terrible flood either.
Your Honor, all three of my commissioners have been farmers in Sny Island District for their entire lives. They know what the cash rent is worth. That's where Mr. Human got that figure of $280 per acre. That's the cash rent these people know from their experience.
How can a court, I mean, you know, that would never, you would need to spell out the reasoning
right.
a little more fully for a court. I haven't been a farmer for a minute in my life. You know, I have no idea how these numbers come about, how one figures out, you know, with a levy, protecting agricultural lands, hopefully from flooding, they're worth this much, and if they flood every so often, how often are they going to flood? What's the lost crop rent? You know, what? I mean, just there's so many questions that one would want to ask, and you similarly would want to ask those questions about benefit to a railroad. I don't know if railroads wash away in Mississippi River floods or not.
Well, they do. We know that from 1993 when the levee breached, and we know how much the railroads spent to repair the track that was ruined. And it was a lot more than Mr. Heumann's estimate of the benefit.
Well, so maybe you should charge them more.
If we have to reassess, we will do that, Your Honor.
So, but there's nothing in the record that shows that breakdown. There's nothing in the record that talks about the flood in 93, is it?
In terms of
the commissioners sitting down, nobody has a quarrel, I don't think, with you that clearly the railroads, to me, get more benefit. Okay, because, you know, they're at a much higher level, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is just what was the basis other than saying, you know, just taking here's the gross amount of money we need to cover what our expenses are, and here's our biggest player in the market, and so, you know, because they make more money, they should pay more, and there's some value to that. But is it, you know, there's no, like, specifics in terms of how often they use the property, you know, what kind of proceeds they generate by having their, you know, that's not in the record.
On the contrary, Your Honor.
Or is it?
It is in Mr. Heumann's deposition. He spelled out at considerable length exactly how he went about calculating the benefit to the railroads of having this levee district in place. It was based on historical information about the level of the Mississippi River that he got from the records of the Sny Island District. It was based on his estimates based on other railroad embankments as to the cost to the railroads. Now, as I say, the railroad initially said that the benefit he had computed was too high. We did discovery. We found out what they actually spent in 1993. Mr. Heumann's estimate of the benefit to the railroad in terms of the cost of repairing the track was considerably less than what they spent in 1993, 17 years ago. Mr. Heumann's deposition provides all the record testimony to establish exactly how he calculated that benefit. Please review it. You will find the deposition does that. So, the calculation of the benefit to the railroad is less than what they actually spent. The calculation of the benefit to the ag lands is based upon the experience of my commissioners who have traded land and sold land down there for their entire lives. They know it's worth $280 per acre in terms of a cash rent. Now, how do you get to the railroad's benefit? You compute a benefit ratio. You divide that $1,850 per acre by the $280 value. That produces a benefit ratio of 6.6%. That's what the ag lands paid, 6.6% of their benefit. That's what the railroads paid, 6.6% of their benefit, which we now know is considerably less than their actual benefit. That is how we came out with the assessment. Yes, it is higher than a per acre assessment, but it is based on the benefit to the railroad, and it is calculated in precisely the same percentage fashion as the benefit to the ag lands. That is not discrimination. The district court made a specific finding. The railroads had the burden of proving that there was a discriminatory impact on them, and they failed to meet that burden. And the reason they failed to meet it is because the calculation we made of their benefit was 6.6% of the annual benefit they got. And that is just the same, identical to the 6.6% of benefit that was charged to the ag lands. Now, does that mean the railroads pay a lot more money? Yes. You flood 100 acres of ag land, that causes $50,000 or $60,000 in damage to the crops. You flood 100 acres of railroad line, you are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to fix it. And we know that because that's what they did in 93. Now, did we do everything perfectly? No. We were fighting flood. We were fighting a deadline. We left out, you know, the six, you know, other commercial and industrial properties in the district. Was that a mistake? Yes. But it's de minimis. Supreme Court says this is a de minimis issue. If it's a de minimis exception, there's no discrimination. And the $6,500 that would have been generated in assessments on those properties are de minimis. Now, I want to talk just for a moment about remedy. Suppose you buy the railroad's argument. I don't think you have the authority. You obviously have the authority to tell us to stop discriminating. But I don't think you have the authority to tell us how. Suppose, for the sake of argument, you find that the omission of those six properties means we're discriminating against the railroads. There are two ways to solve the problem. One, lower the railroad's assessment, or two, raise the assessment on those other six properties. And I think we have the discretion, subject obviously to the jurisdiction of the Pike County Circuit Court, to do the latter, i.e. raise the assessments on the others. What the railroads ultimately want here is an order from this court saying we can't use the per acre method of assessment. We have to use the per acre method of assessment, and we can't do percentage of benefit. That's not within the authority conferred by the 4R Act. The 4R Act says you can make us stop discriminating. But if, hypothetically, suppose you decide we screwed it up this time. If we go back down and say we're going to assess at 7% of the benefit across the board, ag land, railroads, pipelines, utilities, commercial and industrial, 7% of the benefit. And we'll get the benefit assessed to the railroads right this time. If we do that, that is not discrimination. It is within our power under the drainage code.
All right. Thank you.
I thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. I think you have a very – how much time does he have? 30 seconds.
Your Honor, in 30 seconds, I'd like to say that Mr. Heumann, who did these calculations, is a lawyer, and he's Mr. Arnold's law partner. And in the record, it shows where we examined him and shredded his analysis. And I think the court has it right. It was not a valid analysis.
Valid analysis certainly could be done. I mean, Mr. Arnold argues strongly that the railroads in this 1993 experience spent quite a bit of money as a result of flood damage.
Well, one of the things the railroads did is a betterment. They put a steel bridges in instead of the old wooden bridges. But the other thing that happened was the levee actually hurt the railroads. When there was a breach in the levee, the water came rushing down in a channel and hit the railroad's 25-foot-high embankments that were intended to keep them out of the water and broke through them. If the levees hadn't been there, the water would have come up equally and would have not done the damage. We did not have the opportunity to litigate that issue because of the notice question here. And I should add, there was a question raised about what.
Let me
did
go
those
back just a minute. Did you provide an independent analysis?
No, Your Honor, we
in
did not.
In terms of the assessment, because this one you characterize as biased.
Yes,
even
Your Honor.
Even though they went through these various steps, but because of the connection with counsel, you said that was invalid. Did you offer an independent analysis?
Your Honor, we did not. And the only reason we even examined Mr. Heumann was we were trying to figure out what happened because the commissioners couldn't tell us what happened. The CEO of the commission couldn't tell us what happened.
Was that for the district court proceeding here or back when you were trying to challenge the assessments?
No, we never challenged the assessments in state court. We went straight to the district court. We did not feel we were in a position to challenge the benefits analysis. We were simply trying to prove discrimination. But in the process, we were trying to figure out what happened, and that's why we took Mr. Heumann's deposition. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll take the case under advisement. Thanks to both counsel.